Danielle's, St. Helena, California, January 23rd, 1901. Dear Brother Danielle's, I have received and read the letter recently sent me by you. Since I came to America, the burden upon me has been very heavy. Tonight, I was not able to sleep past 1 o'clock. I am now writing by lamplight. For many nights, I have not been able to sleep past 1 or 2 o'clock. The work that the Lord desires me and my workers to do is outlined before me. This work does not consist alone in attending camp meetings and special council meetings, but in getting together as fast as possible the light given me by the Lord, that it may be given to the people. We are not to be called away from this work, but since coming to this country, I have not had time to write. I have not had time to do the work the Lord has given me to do. This thought robs me of sleep. I must get my books ready for publication as soon as possible. The work that needs to be done by our people has been outlined before me. I have been shown the great need of workers to send out into the places in this country that are in such great need of help. This is our first work: to enter these neglected cities which have not yet been entered by the messengers of truth. This great and neglected work lies before us. We are not called upon to go into the depths of iniquity in the cities. We are to present the truth to those in the highways. We have a work to do for the higher classes, and this work needs all our capabilities. While we are in no case to neglect the poor and destitute, we have neither men nor money for the work among the very lowest classes. We point our workers to a higher grade. All reasons for this I cannot explain now. The fields ripe for the harvest have been spread before me. We must work for the higher class of people. Then we shall have strength and ability with which to carry forward the work in the lines which God has pointed out. In clear, simple lines, the gospel is to be presented to the world. Human beings are to unite with the ministering angels in advancing the cause of God. Much wiser generalship should be shown in the location of camp meetings. They should not be held in out-of-the-way places, for in the cities there are people who need the truth. Camp meetings are to be held in places from which the people of our large cities can be reached. Christ compares his people to a city set on a hill, which cannot be hid, and he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 14-16. This is a time of great moral darkness. Men and women are absorbed in the search for money and amusement. The work of the Lord must be made known. The last message of mercy must be heard in the large cities. Camp meetings must be held in the cities, the workers at one time pitching the tent in one part of the city, and the next time in another part. Right at our doors, there are heathen who need to hear the warning message. In the large cities of America, memorials for God are to be established. The Lord is testing his people. Those who cherish his light will be light bearers. Our brethren in America are to make decided reforms. Few of them know what it means to labor earnestly for souls ready to perish. The need for our people to unify has been presented before me. Medical missionary work should have been more closely bound up with the gospel ministry, for they are parts of the same great whole. There is to be no division between them. Ministry comprehends far more than merely preaching the word. It means calling and training young men as Elijah called and trained Elisha, taking them right from the plow and giving them responsibilities to bear in God's work. Small responsibilities at first, and larger ones as they gain strength and experience. The minister is to train young men to bear burdens in God's cause, teaching them to follow self-denying methods. Young, inexperienced workers are to be placed in close touch with experienced servants of God, that they may learn what it means to minister. Young physicians should be connected with those of greater experience, that they may learn how to labor efficiently for God. A wonderful messenger, even the Son of God, came to this world to teach men and women how to live perfect lives. His divinity clothed with humanity, he stood before the human race as a perfect teacher, illustrating in his life the high and holy principles which everyone who is saved must reveal in his dealings with his fellow man.
Christ redeemed men from Satan, paying no less a price than his own life. He was equal with God, but he laid aside his royal robe and kingly crown and came to this world in the likeness of man, that humanity might touch humanity, and divinity lay hold of the throne of God. Had he come in his glory, no one would have been able to look upon him and live. Therefore, he was made in fashion as a man. For our sake he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made sharers with him in the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Christ is the sent of God. He placed himself at the head of humanity, standing there as our elder brother, sharing with us all our trials and afflictions. He was tempted in all points like as we are, that he might be able to succor them that are tempted. He offered to God a perfect obedience, that man might be placed on vantage ground. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 14. Those who believe in him may overcome, may become all that God requires them to be. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 12. Partaking of the divine nature, we may overcome the corruption that is in the world through lust. All who are truly united with Christ shall be sanctified by his grace. Let all who minister seek to understand Paul's words to the Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 1, 2. I entreat the ministers of the gospel, who are bearing to the world the most important and decisive message of warning and appeal that has ever been given, not to disregard the entreaty of the great apostle. The same principle contained in Paul's instruction is presented by Isaiah. The Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not, a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say, A confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord, that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, It is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, verse 11 to 17, 20. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Proverbs 8, verse 4 to 13, 35, 36. The Lord Jesus put these words in the mouth of his appointed instructor, for the benefit of those living in this age, when a decided testimony is to be borne in regard to the binding claims of the law of God. Christ has given us an example of how to work. We read, And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 4, verse 13 to 17, 23.